Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with another one of our Season 40 winner retrospectives. And today we are talking to John Carroll all about Boston Rob. And the beauty of this is John Carroll beat Boston Rob. And that's who we're talking to. We're not talking to somebody from Redemption Island. We're going to get to hear the flawed Boston Rob story.
Salt in the wound.
There we go. John, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for doing this with us. This is the 20th one we're recording. So like we said to you before, last but not least for sure. But thank you so much for helping us complete this process. We are super amped for this. So
hey, awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we got season 40 on the horizon. We're literally a day away from the season 39 finale. How you feeling about this?
I'm ready for 39 to be put to bed and put behind us, and I'm super excited for like the game. Like, I mean, nobody is coming out there to float. It's going to be game on every episode. I just can't imagine it's not. And I'm super excited to see. I mean, I hope it meets the hype. You know, finally, after, almost 20 years, we're going to get an all-winter season. And I'm excited, especially after everything we've been through with this last season and how wounding this has been. It'll be fun just to go back to, like, Survivor game and gameplay and blindsides and hopefully none of the, you know, volatile social stuff that emerged in 39.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is a great season for you as well, because there's going to be some old school players on this season, which if they perform well, which we've seen in the past when old school players do, we see a little bit of an uptick in old school players coming back. You have Ethan, you have Amber, you got Boston Rob, you got Sandra, who obviously has played the new school game as well, but there's some opportunity here. Danny Boatwright, season 11. Yeah. So, I mean,
Hey, I'm rooting for old school, especially like the seasons with no hidden immunity idols, where it just literally was just your gameplay that got you through the game and your social game, your athleticism, your strategy. So that piece I love. And I would love to see a season where we get rid of all the gimmicks and kind of go back to the beginning of the roots of Survivor, which is outplay, outwit, outlast.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's going to be one kind of topic of conversation we've found ourselves talking about a lot is it's going to be crazy for Ethan and Amber, and I guess not so much Rob and Sandra, a little bit Danny, is to one, play a game with idols, and two, play a game with God knows how many other advantages. And a bunch of winners have found idols on the beach that they're about to play on again. So that's kind of a double hump that those old school players are going to have to go over. But I'm feeling good about both Ethan and Danny. And I mean, Amber, I think a lot of people were nervous about, but I think depending on how things shake out for both her and Rob, she could have a good chance.
Yeah.
I think that the learning curve is going to be, I think if they just get, a couple of tribals under their belt, because, we've been watching it for all these years and we know, how to look for them and that type of thing and how to play them. So it'll be fun. Like somebody like Danny, I hope Danny gets some kind of advantage because it'll be new for her. And even Ethan as well, Amber, I worry about just simply because right out of the gate, she's a pair. And, I know if I was playing, unless I was somehow part of like trying to preserve that pair, why would you keep them in the game? So I think either one of them are going to be at a huge disadvantage from the moment you get out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But imagine how cool would it be though, if Rob and Amber actually were on the same beach together, like if they somehow made a swap and got onto the same beach, and we're seeing this now, what it would be 22 or 32 seasons. So 16 years later, we're seeing Rob and Amber back together on the scene. That'd be a pretty cool moment. It really would.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Right.
No, not at all.
We're going to talk all about Boston Rob here, but one thing I definitely want to bring up here, because she's not playing on the season. And so John Carroll was on Survivor Marquesas, and Vesepia is not on this season. I know you were very vocal about that. What is something, because Boston Rob, a lot of people now, like everybody knows new school Boston Rob. A lot of people don't realize like the first time Boston Rob played, doesn't even make the jury. What is something that like Vesepia just did so well back then that maybe Boston Rob could have picked up on that made him play so much better as seasons went on?
I think the thing about Mark Casis is one, is the location, while it was beautiful, it was awful because of the no-nos. It was brutal and it was awful, just the bugs alone. And I know it's Jeff's one of his least favorite locations in terms of just how awful that was. But as far as gameplay goes, you know, Vesepia didn't have a big, exciting game, but it was so like deadly efficient. I also think that the final tribal council didn't help her in the sense that it wasn't a big, you know, bang at the end. And so I think her game was so subtle and so sophisticated and sublime that later down the road, when you compare it to other winners, it just didn't meet that exciting test. But how do you leave the only African-American female winner ever behind?
Yeah.
I just that alone really just, I think, stings just from a diversity standpoint. And she's also a different person, you know, almost 20 years later. She may have played a Siri type game where who knows? She definitely wasn't ever going to be able to play the same game again. And I just think it's too bad that she is not out there. I think that's a real loss in terms of a winter season.
And I think her style of play, and I'm thinking of who is on the season. I think you could compare Michelle's, Danny's, maybe a little bit of Denise, that kind of under the radar style of play. I would love to see Vesepia back, because would she do that again, or would she come out guns a-blazing? Either way would be really cool. So it is a shame that we're not going to see her.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes to Boston Rob, because the first time he played, he had this strategy that we really hadn't seen before, where it was kind of take out the stronger people and just get these people who are just going to follow me, Sarah and I don't even remember who else, but he kind of got his like little group of like Yeah, and it was take out Hunter and Patricia and all that. And then we saw him though as he went on, he really started to develop a different game, or then the next time it was, all right, let me, like, I have no problem kind of betraying the people that I would normally work with, like a Lex or a Kathy Vavrick O'Brien, somebody like that. And then he gets to Heroes versus Villains, and then it became like the friendly thing again. We've seen a big evolution in his game before he actually did pull out the win. And maybe Vesepia would have also had a big evolution in her game, because I think she's someone who had such a strong social game that if you look at the women who have won recently, which hasn't been many, but the ones who have, it was their social game. And sure. I think that's where Vesepia really her strength lied.
Yeah. And I think though, if you look at Boston Rob's gameplay, think about the seasons where he was more successful. He had a partner in crime and generally a female and a younger one. So there was like a control factor. So I was thinking about, you know, Rob's gameplay, and then, you know, when he finally won, I mean, he had a whole tribe essentially that were, you know, fangirling and fanboying out, where again, he controlled all of them. So control seems to be a real big part of his strategy, because think about the seasons in which that control, he could not exert it. He didn't do well. Once Sarah was gone, moving, you know, forward in terms of if he could keep his partner in crime with him, he did really, really well. If he didn't, and he was just really on his own, I think you could say on, you know, and looking at everything except for the tribe, but he had everybody on his side. So if he loses Amber early and he's just by himself, it just kind of makes me wonder how well can he do, and wonder if part of his motivation is if he always knows he has somebody in his pocket, does that like really engage him and give him confidence? And if he doesn't have that person in his pocket, can he play, you know, by himself and still be successful?
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because it does seem like in every season he played, he did have the younger woman who he tried to align with. And this season, the tribe he's starting on, there's not many young women on this season. And so he starts with Denise. He starts with Danny, who's in her 40s now. He starts with Nadia and Parvati, but he also starts with Michelle Fitzgerald, and he doesn't start on the same tribe as Amber. Do you think that he would try to work with Michelle because that's kind of who he's worked with in the past, or has he moved beyond that and now he's trying to work with some of the old school people or the older people like Ben, Ethan, maybe even Jeremy?
Well, yeah, I've thought about it, because I'm thinking, okay, what are we going to see, you know, especially, you know, once you've already won, I can't imagine – like your legacy and all the other pieces that come into play, where somebody who has tried multiple times and has not won. So he's had the full spectrum of the survivor experience. So he really has nothing to lose or gain by going back out there, except for he's now in an all-winter season competing with somebody like Sandra, who he's just come off of a season spending weeks with, you know, in a more intimate environment probably than any other time. So I think the stakes and the pressure are very, very high for both of them. Her as a two-time winner and him, you know, have his last time playing, winning. And now, you know, really just because imagine if he flames out early. Boy, that's, you know, that's going to stink. You know, where if he had just left himself out there as a winner, that's one thing. So when you look at him, people know what he did in All Stars, which was had people he'd become friendly with and cut their throats. People will remember that. So they know that that's in him. And especially with the stakes so high, you know, he's not going to, other than Amber, there's nobody other than himself and Amber that he's going to be truly loyal to. So, you know, looking at that piece of it is, so what does he do? He's going to have some ally. He's got to have somebody that he truly can trust. And to me, the most logical person, especially strategically and through history, has been to get a female that he can bond with. But this, obviously, he's got a wife. So, you know, it would be more of a platonic piece of it. Mm-hmm. But if they end up on the same tribe, it would be really hard for me not to see him do that. Other than if he tries to bro it down and have some of these other guys that feel like they might have a target on their back and try to get in that club. But, you know, people may perceive him as just a threat from the very beginning and want to get him out of there because there's no way that they're going to drag him to the end. Because if Boston Rob goes to the end playing this many times, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard not to give him the money.
Absolutely.
I go two ways with who he's going to align with. Like, does it make sense for him to align with the other big time people like the Sandras? And Parvati's going to be on his tribe. I know he and Parvati have played together once. Or does he go the total other way and hang out with Nick Wilson, Wendell, Ben, these new winners who are probably just like, oh my God, like I just won and now I'm playing with Ethan. Maybe it makes more sense for him to go with them. I'm not sure because I think any path for him is really difficult.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Ethan knows him for obviously going all the way back. He's got to see all the incarnations that are out there. So the question will be is, are we going to see like an evolved Boston Rob who's a dad and married and it's going to be more sophisticated in his gameplay? Cause you know, it's going to be different when you're 43 to go out there and like have a season in Marquesas where he's just a bully and trashing people, making fun of people. I mean, he's a parent now, you know, so I don't really see us seeing it go that way. I'm just waiting to see if he can evolve into a complex social game where it isn't just brute force and control that gets you through the game. Because to me, when I look at a player like Boston Rob, when he's been successful, it's when he's been in control and he's been able to use brute force to go through. That is not going to work with these people. No. Nobody is going to be scared.
They're going to play right back.
Yeah. And nobody's going to let him get into control. And then another thing you said with brute force, one of the things that made Boston Rob so famous was the fact that he had like an adversary on every season. And on the first season, it was Hunter first, and then it was you. And then on his second season, it was kind of, you know, he kind of bounced around Rob Cesternino, and then it became Lex, and then it became Big Tom. And then in his third season, obviously it's Russell, which leads to Redemption Island, where it's Russell all over again. And so he always has like this big character who he's butting heads with the entire time. Who do you think could be somebody that he really butts heads with this time? Or do you think he's going to try to avoid that type of game?
Well, I think Miss Anderson ain't going to put up with anybody's bullshit. So excuse my language.
No, you're fine.
Put up with. If they're on the same tribe, either they'll be the greatest of allies. And because she's a, you know, I mean, look, I mean, she's a CrossFitter. She is yoked out. Like, I mean, she is going to be as equally as athletically, you know, scary as any man on the island. I mean, because she's going to give some of those men a run for their money. So if they end up on the same tribe, and I don't know how the tribes shake out. So I've tried to stay away from any information because I want to see this season cold. But I could see, you know, but, you know, somebody like Sarah, you know, I could see where her and Boston Rob could potentially, you know, align, you know, because she had a very sly social game that was based on really backstabbing and using information and flipping and flopping and negotiating. So everybody's going to see that a mile away. So, you know, I think the more slippery a player is, you know, the maybe the more focus they'll have. So it may be some of these more sophisticated players may get the most amount of heat early versus some of the ones that are a little bit more just kind of blunt in the way that they play the game. In other words, you know what you're getting when you're playing with them versus these other ones that are much more sly, that can use the social game and use the blind sides to their advantage. So I think early it's going to like sort itself out like pretty quickly as to like how people are going to be perceived and how they're going to play.
And we were talking to somebody recently where we were discussing the whole old school versus new school thing. And they were saying in those first two votes, we're going to know whether old school has a chance or not. Like we're going to know right away whether or not, you know, Ethan, Yule, Danny are going to get a chance to play this game or whether they're just going to be picked off because almost every single winner from the 30s is there and a lot of winners from the 20s are there. Like we're going to know right away. But with Boston Rob, being that Amber, his wife, who he has four children with, do you think anybody lets him get his footing in this game? Or do you think he's just an obvious first boot?
I don't think he'll be a first boot because in some ways there may be this perception of everybody's going to want to go after him. So that would make a great ally, you know, and also how is it that he's going to play the game? Obviously nobody got to see him and Sandra in their little tribal nest, you know, sitting up there, you know, and doing what they were doing and the advice that they were, you know, giving. But, you know, but he showed a shrewdness in the, you know, the little sessions that he was having with the season 39 contestants, which was much more less about control and really being much more aware and astute. So, you know, there may be a, even for people who won, the fact that you're playing with him, that there may be some even people who are starstruck, even though they're a winner. I think that the old school players, especially somebody like Danny and Ethan, could go actually a long way because I think that there's going to be much more combustible young guns that are out there that really kind of want to make their mark. Because even if you're a winner, somebody's going to offer themselves up in some way, you know, either being too loud or playing too hard. But I see somebody like Ethan where there's going to be like somebody like Wendell. I could see like if Wendell and Ethan are on the same tribe, I could see them gravitating towards each other.
Yeah.
Both socially conscious, you know, socially aware, really just, you know, really good people at heart. And I could see where they could, you know, gravitate, but then would they be perceived to be, you know, a pair? But I think you're right. If the old school players can get past like day six, day seven, they're going to be in it because which means they're going to be in some kind of alliance, except for a bunch of swaps and gimmicks that might put them at risk.
And that's what I was going to say. When it comes to Ethan, yes, there's all these twists and turns, and we see Chelsea go out at 17 and Tom Laidlaw go out at 16. But when I look at Ethan, I see somebody who I think makes it deep every single time. Like, he just has that personality. He was the last surviving winner on All-Stars. He was phenomenal on Africa. He plays the type of game that you're never going to look at Ethan. If a twist comes up and you have an advantage, you can vote somebody out. You don't want that to be Ethan because I think Ethan's just that likable. He really feels like he's part of your alliance every time you're with him. And so I have a really hard time. Like when I look at this cast and I see all 20 of them, I say Ethan finishes top seven 100% of the time. That doesn't mean that he wins, but I just think his longevity in this game, he probably has the best chance out of everybody there. I just never see him going home early. And you can make an argument for anybody else on the island.
There's something about Ethan that no matter how obvious he is, there's also something just really unassuming about him. It's sort of Wendell, but Ethan, I don't know. With Ethan, I just see that.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think Wendell and Ethan kind of potentially can occupy that same lane where they're just cool cats and you just want to be friends with them. Like you want to you kind of want to be in their club, you know, just because of how they carry themselves and all of that. But that also has an expiration date in the game of Survivor. And so they're not going to let somebody like that, who's so socially, you know, astute, get that deep in the game. Mm-hmm. But the other part is, if somebody like Boston Rob and Ethan end up on the same tribe for whatever reason, and they were to pair up, that actually could help Boston Rob in the long run. But again, the perception of these old school players kind of coming together, you know, it could also, you know, hurt them. So if Ethan and Danny can get past the first few rounds and get nestled into a more aggressive style, they could lie in wait for a long time, because all of these people know how to win. So you would think that they would know how to strike, you know, when that time came, depending on the kind of game that they played. You know, if they won just by brute athleticism and didn't have much strategy, I don't know how far that's going to carry them in a game like this, because it'd be easy to pick those kinds of people off. Because I think there's going to be a lot of strategy, a lot of blindsides that are happening in this. And I think they're going to need people like Ethan as votes to be able to execute those moments.
Yeah. And so somebody, T-Bird Cooper, brought up a great point that we just have to acknowledge here, because you said Ethan and Boston Rob could work together. Now, it's very out there that Ethan and Amber dated before Amber and Boston Rob ended up getting married.
That's an alliance right there.
And T-Bird said, well, you know, that's your girl. Can you really, like, you know, there's always something there with that, this old school way of thinking a little bit. Do you think that, like, do Boston Rob and Ethan get along, or is there still a little bit of a rivalry there where it's like, well, you got the girl and the $2 million, and, you know, but I had the girl for, like, what's the mentality there?
Well, it's kind of one of those things where I think it's the sophistication of the person and how they manage that. I think Ethan is not somebody that would ever open that door. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be more, how would Boston Rob handle, how would his ego handle that? Especially if the producers put Ethan and Amber on the same tribe, which I would bet, if I'm a producer, who are you putting together on the same tribe? I mean, come on. You know,
it makes sense.
Contractually, the only way that, you know, that he agreed to come back is that they weren't on the same tribe. So the fact, if they were, I don't care how long you've been married. If I was with somebody and, you know, and one of their first loves, you know, was, you know, on the other side. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not sleeping so well at night.
Yeah. You can't keep an eye. You're
how much I trust.
One eye open.
Exactly. Boston Rob's going to be asking every cameraman, what's going on over there with Ethan and Amber, huh?
Where are they sleeping? Like, you know,
they better not be snugging up next to each other.
Are there two camps? Are there two huts? Which hut is there, a girl hut and a boy hut? Well,
I love the idea of this, though, because it is such an interesting dynamic that Boston Rob is actually bringing to this because his wife is out there. We've never seen this. We've seen this in Blood vs. Water seasons, but everybody had a loved one. We have never seen this before, where it's just two people who actually are married and, like, very, you know, they're like their face of Survivor at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Amber and Boston Rob, that's what everybody knows. We've never seen something like this. And I think it creates an interesting dynamic. The longer Boston Rob and Amber can survive, which I don't think will be very long, but the longer they can both survive in the game, it creates this interesting tension of, like, my wife or my husband is right there on the other beach and I'm competing against them. And what can I do? Because nobody else has that in their mind.
Yeah. Well, think about this. So Boston Rob gave us some clues during 39 because, you know, he's a poker player, and there are two other poker players, you know, that are going to be out there, Adam and Tyson. So you have to remember, there could be a poker alliance that could help all three of them. And, you know, I know if I was out there and I knew that was going on, you know that they're competitive, but they're also automatically aligned because they have that in common. Mm-hmm. So, but as a poker player, he gave us some clues when they were, like, they were giving the advice and, you know, would people jump on, you know, whatever the offer was, you know, to go after the whatever advantage it was. And he was always, hey, you know, there may be a second or a third. So the fact that Amber is actually on the show, I wouldn't be surprised at all, since it's the only one that looks like a blood versus water situation, that when they were going to do the all winter season, of course, you can't have one without Boston Rob. So the poker player was like, hey, you want to do it? It's got to be a twofer. And you know, basically negotiated his wife. Why? Because if she does well, it helps their household. It helps both of them and their bank account when it's all said and done. Because you know, why wouldn't you try to swing for the fences? Because if she can make it and get lucky and they both go deep in the game, both of their bank accounts look a lot better than if one stays home. But it also could, again, no risk, no reward. It could actually blow up both of their games by doing it. So I think he's, you know, whatever he was doing, the fact that she's out there with him, it's hard for me not to believe that he didn't play some role in making that happen, because they wanted him for sure. And was she kind of it's a twofer, or it's or it's none of us.
Yeah. And I mean, those girls, they're getting closer to college age. Boston Rob's going to have to be putting these girls through college soon. So they need this. They need this.
When you're a poker player, you know, it's feast or famine.
It is. It's true.
What'd you say, Alexa?
I said he's going to put the four of them out on the island so they can start winning the million.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. The kid version. All right, Alexa. Well, we have two questions that we've been asking everybody, John. Alexa, throw these questions at John and let's see what he comes up with here.
All right. So first question we've been asking everybody is, give us your predicted placement for Boston Rob. You can be as generic as makes the merge, or you can give us like third place, 19th place. What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to start with Amber. I think Amber goes out first or second.
Okay.
Or he goes out first and second, and they just keep one of them. So I think it just depends on where they end up. And again, it depends on the division. And so we know he can build. We know that he's got, you know, great balance, you know, that he can be a challenge beast when he wants to. And so, you know, when you're in those tribal, you know, contests, he may be able to go certain distance simply because tribes want to be strong. Mm-hmm. And so they may keep him around. That's why I'm wondering if it's about tribal strength, she goes home first. So if that's the case, I think he could get real close to the merge, but I don't think it goes beyond, you know, maybe one or two places beyond the merge. That's my prediction.
Okay. There you go. And I think the one thing people forget about Boston Rob is that other than on Marquesas, his tribes typically win most of the immunities early on. I mean, I know that in Redemption Island, Matt and Francesca both went out very early, and Christina, but then after that, they just won everything after that. I mean, they just kept on winning. And then you go all the way back to Heroes versus Villains. Obviously, the Villains tribe dominated the Heroes tribe until they voted out. They started voting out their own, Tyson and Boston Rob, and then Coach. Yep. And it's like, okay, well, now, of course, you're going to keep losing. Your strongest competitor at that point was pretty much Courtney Yates. So you're just running out of, you know, challenge beast, but he does typically have stronger tribes. So I do think Amber's in a little bit more trouble, which is funny because if Boston Rob wasn't on the season, Amber would probably be my winner pick, because who the heck thinks Amber's going to do anything?
I think you're exactly right. I think if they both had not come back, I think she is, again, like an Ethan, old school player. He could be counted on to be trustworthy and an extra vote, and then maybe be able to down the road use some, you know, Parvati kind of play with some idols and do some blindsides. But I think as long as they come out with a pair, and if her tribe loses early, you know, within the first or second time, I think she's probably gone.
There you go.
Well, that leads into our second question, which is, if you can't pick Boston Rob to win, which it sounds like we weren't going to do anyway, who would you pick to win this season?
Man, I knew you were going to ask me that.
And we are so expecting far. One answer. You can give us a speech, but it's one name.
Gosh, you're evil. gosh. Okay, I can only give you one, right? Because there's my heart one, and then there's the you know, and then the one that I think, you know, probably could pull it off. But holy cow. Knowing everything on balance, strength, older players.
John's got algorithms popping up around his head right now.
I feel like I'm Christian. Like, one, square root of four, at least two, yep, select one. I'm going to go with Sophie.
Sophie?
Yep. Sophie. I like it.
Yep.
Okay, who were you between?
Adam and Natalie and Sophie. Those are my like three. The reason I ultimately went with Sophie is that I think she is a really great observer. Mm-hmm. I think she sees a lot, And I think that she has got the right mix of all the parts that to go into a winter season to be able to navigate what needs to be done. And I think she could be kind of the Mata Hari of, except she's not a belly dancer, so but be a spy. You know, she could. I think she could really do it. Adam, I think, is kind of the same way. Where I think he's so likable and, you know, just affable, but also smart. But Natalie, from it, just a, I just think she's a beast and just cool. And I would be really happy to see her be a second time winner. And, you know, she, you know, she's a CrossFitter and she had an injury that she had to overcome. And it was really hard for her. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it was a significant injury. So for her to, you know, kind of overcome that and then go back out, I would love to see her at least go deep in the game, and especially to give some of the men a run for their money athletically.
So one of the most old school people we interviewed went with all new schoolers here as the winner choices here. I mean, you end up going with Sophie, who wins. I mean, I guess really she's in like the first half of people who played. So you went with season 23, at least on this season.
Middle school. There's old school, middle school, and new school.
Mm-hmm. Awkward middle school years.
And see, middle, she can navigate both worlds. So
She's seen idols. She's played with, you know, former players before. I like where your head's at there. So not Boston Rob, not Amber, not Ethan. None of that.
No. I think Ethan's too nice. I think Amber is just in a tribe of really, I think, a lot of aggressive personalities. If she's perceived to be weak and part of a pair, I think it's just easy. She's just easy pickings, except for if her tribe does well, then she could kind of sneak in there and almost have like a charisma kind of, you know, like road. But if that doesn't happen for her, then she'd be so easy just to rally around. There's a pair, you know, break up the pair, first vote. And especially if she's perceived not to be as strong, that I think those two things.
She's not a meat shield like Boston Rob is. Like Jeremy invented the meat shield strategy, and he's got the biggest meat shield in Survivor history is Boston Rob because of what he's got going on. Amber's not a meat shield. She's just kind of threatening. So that's where the difference kind of lies there.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, before we end this, you have any like parting thoughts before we close this out?
No, I'm just really, you know, excited, you know, to see, you know, the blend of the different seasons. It'll be educating. You know, just to watch everybody, educational. You know, I really want to see what some of the old school players do. I want to see what some of the people who played real aggressive games, you know, do they switch it up? Do they just go back to their comfort zone? You know, are there going to be some surprises, you know, kind of, you know, overall? And, you know, I love the show, you know, and I was really sad to see what happened last season. And really, I mean, of all the things I ever thought that could be a risk to the show, what we endured with last season was like the scariest thing, because it was just, it was so deep into so many different layers, the gameplay, production, the network, and all of that. But I think that, you know, as we kind of move past it and the dialogue that took place, which needed to, you know, healing and things can come. And if we have a really good competitive season and go back to really what Survivor is about, you know, the gamemanship and all of that, and stay away some of the more volatile social issues and really just get to enjoy the gameplay, I think it, you know, can kind of almost, even though it's an all winter season, hopefully it can be almost like a rebirth and a renewal, you know, of gameplay. And if they do a second chance, you know, I've never taken my hat out of the ring. I know that Boston Rob, this will be his sixth time showing up on the screen. I'm hoping that this will be his last. He's done, and maybe I'll get a chance to come back and do my thing. And so I want to watch these players, you know, and kind of get a vibe of where the game is and all of that. But, you know, even though I'm 54 and I'm an old school player, you know, I've got a new school mind, but I also am an older person. So I would never be able to play the game the same way I did when I was 36. You know, I love what Survivor is and what it does and what it illuminates, even if it's not the best of us. It still is 20 years, you know, mm-hmm. it's still provocative and still can, you know, really, you know, bring to light a lot of the social issues, you know, think about it, over the years that, you know, whether it's the Me Too movement or, you know, trans rights or LGBT, you know, overall, I mean, it's, you know, women, I mean, it's still relevant. And so, yeah. You know, I hope I do one day before it folds its tent and before I'm too old to play, you know, I get another shot to, you know, get out there and mix it up.
There you go. So that, I mean, I don't know what to say after that. That's
there's no better way to end that.
Fantastic way to end it. As we said, this was our 20th one. So though most of you listening probably are listening to this kind of smack in the middle. This is the end for Alexa and I. So John, we couldn't have ended it really any better than that as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate it, you know, and this is great that you guys are still invested and you're out there in the survivor sphere and you've got your voice and your fans and, you know, I mean, it's people like yourselves that keep all of this going, you know, and here it is season 40 and you're talking about an all winter season mm-hmm. of, you know, 20 players as diverse, you know, playing styles and backgrounds, you know, it's going to be really cool. And we've all been wanting this for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and finally it's like literally February and we're about to see some of the best of the best. And a little part of me almost wishes Sander pulls out a third win.
Right.
I would like that.
Just a little part, not a big part of me actually is secret, but I just don't see them ever letting your kid close. No. Because, you know, if she does, it's a landslide.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for coming on. We loved having you. This is the second time we've had you on. We always love it. We love talking Survivor with you. And hopefully the old schoolers go out there and kick some ass so that
I know.
One day we see John Carroll again.
I'm rooting for the old schools. Let's go. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, the OGs.
That's it. All right, man. Thanks, John.
Yep. Thanks.